between like 9 leagues for about 3,000 players. So for a defender to win it, it's quite an achievement for me, but it's obviously a credit to me and all the lads and everyone to do with Chorley. So yeah, it was a long day, but worth coming back with another trophy, like, so yeah, it was good.
I suppose it tops off what's been an unbelievable season.
Yeah, it's been a very long season. I think we played like 60-odd games, I think, with the FA Trophy run and obviously the league and the other cup runs, the Lancashire Cup. So, yeah, it's been a tremendous successful season. You know, at the start of the season, our aims were to win the league, and at one stage, like, we're going to walk it, but I think we had a bit of a twitchy time, and luckily it came down to the last game of the season and we won it.
Were you ever worried? I know you did so well in the FA Trophy and then lost on penalties, such a disappointment, lost that Lancashire Cup final. Did you ever think we might chuck this away?
Personally, no, I didn't think it, but you could tell sometimes, you know, a few lads were a bit, you know, if they think too much, and you can always get on top of you mentally, but I've learned myself, being one of the older players in the team, you know, just to block everything out and just treat it as any other game, and luckily the lads pulled through and we got the result we wanted.
How much of an emphasis is there on you as the captain, as a senior player, to stick your arm around some perhaps less experienced lads and say, look, we're still going to do this, I've still got confidence?
Yeah, it's massive. Obviously, you know, the gaffer's made me a captain for a reason, and it's not only just me. We've got Jamie Vermiglio, who's like my captain, he does all my work. So me, you know, me and him and the few other senior players in the squad, you know, we're always there for advice for anyone, so we always put an arm around him, just make him relax and keep him going. So the few long lads, but they've done well, they've come through and they've proved what we're about.
You mentioned the award that you got personally. Has there been more coverage, more interest in the club because of what you've achieved this season?
Yeah, massive coverage. I think this week I've done about 4 interviews already. It's like, it's mine, I feel like a professional again, so it's great for the club getting the exposure. And obviously Conference North now just playing against better teams, so it's a great exposure for Chorley and obviously myself. So luckily we've had all that, and next season we're playing Stockport, Chester and all teams like that, so we're going to look forward to it.
How much potential is there at Chorley? I know the crowds have been unbelievable.
Yeah, it's massive. When I first signed, Gary Simon from Lancaster, and he said it was like a sleeping giant club, and so it's only proved that since we've won the Lancashire Cup, 2 promotions now, and the crowds are just getting bigger and bigger. So
I was at the FC United game at Gig Lane towards the end of the season. There were 4,000 people there. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. Do you have to pinch yourself and think, I'm playing at this level of non-league when you're in an atmosphere like that?
Yeah, it's mad. You probably don't get that in most League 2 games, never mind Unibomb games. So getting 4,000, I think we had 1,000 ourselves. So it just shows like the potential, how big non-league's growing, and the fans coming out, and they must appreciate it more because it's real football. You're not getting all these diving about and stuff. So it's great for, obviously, us playing in it with the fans.
You mentioned your manager already, Gary Flitcroft. Obviously, you've got Matt Janssen alongside him. They've seemed to have slipped seamlessly into non-league management, having had such successful professional careers. Do they try and pass on some of these professional tips that they've had in their career?
Yeah, it's massive. Like I said, they just come into non-league and just took to it like a duck to water. So all the lads just like respect him in a way. So what they've done and achieved in the time and stuff. So we just listen to what they say, take on board, and hopefully just go out and do the right things for them.
Is there a belief amongst the players that, with the management you've got, with the setup you've got, with the crowds you've got, you could get even higher than Conference North?
Yeah, massively. Like the two teams who went up last season, I think one's gone up. We know it was an hard league to get out of, and once you're in it now, you're just playing at better grounds, you know, better pitches, so it'll probably suit us more going into the Conference North. So we believe that we can obviously get promotion again and get on them playoffs maybe. So
I suppose if 12 months down the line you've achieved another promotion, you're kind of getting onto the cusp of professional territory, aren't you? Most of the clubs in the Conference National are now pro.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the club's got massive ambition, and, you know, so being a pro again, it's massive. There's that song about me, which obviously takes us to the Football League. So hopefully my time, we can do that, and it'll be massive for Chorley and the club. So
is that the dream, league football?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, I've had my disappointments, but to get back into, obviously, professional game is always an ambition, but what we're doing at Chorley, it's like a professional club, so hopefully if we get in the obviously professional again with Chorley, that'll be great.
You mentioned your personal disappointment. Was it 2006 when you got the injury playing for Macclesfield? Did you even think you'd play again at all when that happened?
Well, I got told I would obviously never run again, so to play, I would never play again either. So to come back and play and start being successful in non-league, it's like a credit to myself, really, to getting to where I want to be. So very proud.
Just for people that don't know, you broke your leg. Did you collab with your own goalkeeper?
Yeah, when it was, I was playing Stockport County away, and the goalkeeper took a goal kick. They've headed it over my head, so as I'm running back, my goalkeeper come out and we both collided. I broke my fib and tib, and the goalkeeper also broke his leg. So it was a very freak accident, but it's what happens sometimes. You just got to learn to live with it.
How hard was it to come back from such a bad injury and also such a bad diagnosis?
Yeah, it's pretty hard, to be fair. Like you say, getting the news that I'll never play football again. I got compartment syndrome, so I was in hospital 2 weeks, had five operations, 96 stitches in my leg. So obviously to come over it and to play again, you know, it's hard to take, but it's all about mental strength, really. So I'm very happy to be playing again.
How did you make the decision to start playing again? How did you decide I'm going to give this a go?
Well, I had like obviously about 2 years of rehab, and then obviously I had to go on Lily Shore, learn to run again and stuff like that. And then I was still at Macclesfield, and they sent me on loan to Hyde, Tamworth. And I come back, played the last game for Macclesfield and got released. So it was one of them things, really. And then luckily Lee Genesis come in. They gave me a little, there was like a club going some places at the time, so I signed for them. Then that didn't work out, so I was really on a scrap heap, really, like many footballers are. And then signed for Lancaster, they're giving me a chance again, and then luckily Gary seen me play a few times and signed me. So, you know, it was hard, but I've got the long way around in a way.
It's been a relatively short space of time though, hasn't it, if you were 2 years recovering from the injury?
Yeah, well, I think it took about 3 years for fully recover, so it has been. I think I was 20 when I did it, so I'm 28 now, so I've had about 5 years, and I've won trophies and stuff, so it's a good.
Does it put it into perspective when perhaps you're having a bad day or you're having a bad game or whatever, to just think, I shouldn't be playing?
Yeah, there's times where my leg hurts, you know, I do get pains, and it's not like when the weather changes or the ground changes, I do get pains in the leg, but it's all about mental and knowing your limits with the leg. So I've got exercises that I do all the time, so I'm never going to give up. Football is what I love, and I just want to keep playing as long as I can.
I think people in my profession are obsessed by what part-time players do with the rest of their time, and I think you perhaps don't meet any of the stereotypes. You might expect a footballer to do something to do with football or fitness or something like that. Yeah. Tell us what you do day to day.
Well, I will work with people with dementia in Preston and Lady Elsie Finney House. Like you say, it's not a stereotypical job for a footballer, so it's completely different from football, and it works perfect for me in a way.
Do you have to kind of leave your football personality at the door when you go to work? Because, I mean, I've seen a few games, you're not exactly a shrinking violet when you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. When people meet me out off the football pitch and that, they're quite shocked that it's actually me, because they call me like a gentleman and very polite, and whereas on the pitch, I'm probably, as my mum says, I'm a bit of a nutter, to be honest. So, yeah, you've got to leave it, you know. So, to be fair, it takes the stress from me working day, because with obviously people with dementia, it's very hard, and you get close to them, you know, like they're like your family in a way. So sometimes you can have an hard day, and football takes that away from.
Does it make it easier to go and play? Does it kind of, when you're dealing with such important, such emotional things day to day, does it kind of make it, it's just a game of football, enjoy it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like you said, dementia, it's one of them illnesses, there's nothing cure for it yet. It's hard, you just got to live with it. So I see that every day, and you see families coming in, seeing the family. So for me to finish work and then go and play football, it takes a lot of stress out. I mean, it helps me take my anger out and, you know, get in a good place and get ready to go to work again.
How much is it about kind of knowing about people and maybe even a bit of psychology, as you say, dealing with families and people who are upset about the situation?
Yeah, it's a lot of, like you said, to me, they're all my friends who I look after. You know, you get close to them, you find things out about the past, and you get close to the family, and it's one of them. It is hard at times, like if they do pass away or whatever, you know, you get close and you feel, you cry with the family with them. So it is hard, but I wouldn't change it for anything, really. You know, it's a massive achievement. You know, it's not about the money; it's about, you know, helping people out. So it's all good.
I don't think you'd find too many players in the professional game coming out with things like that. Did you ever see yourself in this position when you were playing professionally?
No, never. It's like when I say, when I got released from football, I was stuck in between. Should I play football? Should I do this? And obviously, I went semi-pro football and obviously applied for a job. And I got it, and ever since then, I think that I've been there about 4 years now, and it's just they put you through courses and everything, so it's brilliant for me and they help me out with my football. They give me my Saturdays off when I should work, and it's brilliant, really.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how much does it come into your working life, the football element? How aware are people that you work with? Are they of what you're doing?
Yeah, well, in the home, there's every time there's a picture of me in paper, someone will bring it in, and so it's stuck up in the on the units and stuff like so. People know I play football, and people always ask, like the families always ask about it, and they always say, well, and like lately they've been all saying well done and congratulations, so it is good.
Is it perhaps a case that when you get a little bit of recognition, a personal award or something, kind of a little bit is for those people that support you?
Yeah, massively. It's like I say, it's not just for me, it's for everyone, isn't it? It's, you know, people like putting up with me for all year in my moods if we get beat and what have you. So it's brilliant for not just me, it's for the club, for the players and for everyone who supported me, yeah.
You say you're a bad loser and you get in a mood, but you can't do a job like that, can you, if you're down in the dumps?
No, to be fair, like if I'm a bit, obviously, a bad loser, like you say, when I've been beat, I go into work and as soon as I see, you know, the people I look after, it puts a smile on my face, it makes me forget about that, and so it works both ways, really, with football and curling.
Would that be the hardest thing if you got the option to go professional, leaving your day-to-day job behind, the caring?
Yeah, massively, to be fair. It would be hard, but I probably could still work now and again there if they wanted me. So not thinking about that yet, though, so just got to keep concentrating on what I'm doing, both on and off the field.
Many people, particularly people who've picked you up on social media or whatever, might know you because of something that used to be on your face and now isn't. You were known for this moustache. Where did all this come from? Describe it to us first.
Well, can I start? It was probably the biggest tash I've ever grown in my life. I think my dad used to have a tash back in there, so it was something like a Gangs of New York, very long, curly, waxed on it, curled around. I even had a little comb to comb it with, so it was a rascal of a tash, to be honest.
The question arises, why?
I don't really know. It's right. I was growing my beard one day and then I just started twirling my tash. I thought, hey, I know what I could do, get rid of my beard and keep the tash. So it was just completely random. And then from then on, I said I'll shave it off when they win the league. So even if I wanted to get rid of it after a few months, I couldn't. So I had to keep it till the end of the season.
Did it become a superstition? Did the lads kind of want you to keep it?
Yeah, all the lads were laughing. To be fair, when I walked into the change room, they didn't even blink an eyelid. They just looked at me and thought, Ortiz up to something different again. So, yeah, it sort of got like a good luck charm, really. And glad it went in the end, really.
Well, you had a good reason to shave it off. And when you did shave it off, you raised some money for charity as well.
Yeah, we got involved with a local charity in Chorley, two twins with Down syndrome. It's called Twincest. And we did like a little dinner at the start of the season, and then when I grew on the tash, we said we'll shave it off when we win the league and hopefully raise some money for Twincess. And on the night, we raised £550 from Envirocare in Chorley. They paid to shave the tash off, so all that's gone to Twincess, which is worthwhile in the end to grow it and to shave it off.
So not just a famous tash, but a charitable one.
Yeah, exactly. So it's brilliant, like we could raise money for Twincess. So I was a bit gutted when it went off, like in the morning when I woke up and I was trying to touch it and it was no longer there, but I could always grow one back next year, or maybe a beard for a charity, maybe.
I was going to say, are there any more plans, massive sideburns maybe?
To be honest, I don't think I could cope anymore. It was it got too much. I don't think I need enough, I get enough attention anyway, like from people like trying to, you know, give me the loads of jips. So to grow a mustache just give me extra attention that I didn't really need.
In all seriousness, I mean, you're a big lad, you're an imposing character, you don't mince your words or indeed, you know, shirk a tackle. Did you get targeted because you were the guy with the silly moustache?
To be fair, all the opposite players used to just look at me and go, that's quality, that to you. How long's that took you? So you just used to have a good laugh. All the lads liked it. It was just like, my mum hated it, so it was just like, you know, all lads really loved it, like, because it was like Gangs of New York, you know, back in the gangsters and all. So it was quite good, really, when I went out and had a bit of banter with everyone when I was out.
Is that the sort of key to what non-league football's about, particularly round here where it's such a vibrant scene, the fact that you're perhaps enemies for 90 minutes but everybody gets on, there's such a great atmosphere?
Yeah, it's massive. That's why non-league's good. Like, we go, obviously after the game you shake hands and then you go into the bar afterwards, you do your man of matches award, and you'll sit with opposite players, fans, and you know, your own fans, and you just have a good laugh, and you know, you talk about the game and what happens on the pitch stays on the pitch, really.
Has that team spirit, that togetherness, that just being mates been the difference between Chorley and a lot of other teams this year?
Yeah, it's massive this season. The gaffer brought a few new players, and sometimes when a new player's coming, you don't, like, we've got Jake Cotterill and, you know, Sam Ashton, and when they come in, you don't really know how people are going to gel into the team. And then look, obviously, luckily, we've all obviously become mates. We go out, you know, we not just go to football and train and go home. We'll go for a drink after training, go for something to eat, you know. So the team spirit's massive. We're all friends.
It's all about the group, isn't it? I mean, there's a parallel with Burnley. You've just been promoted to the Premier League. Sean Dyche always talks about the group.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing that Gary Flitcroft talks about in the dressing room as well?
Yeah, massively. Gary, you know, he got everyone together, and we're as a unit. It's not like any individual. I know, like, a few people have won certain individual awards, but in the long run it's all about the team as itself. There's 24 players in the team. It's not just one, it's not just the 11 on the pitch, it's a squad. Even when people got left out or weren't in the squad, they, you know, they didn't sulk, they didn't do anything, they got on with it, came to training, kept vibrant, and you know, it helps us, everybody else, that everyone's pulling it one way.
And just kind of to sum up, obviously there's a new season around the corner, you'll be playing in the Conference North, you're so close to that Football League dream, if you will. How excited are you personally just about getting back out there and pulling that shirt on again?
Yeah, massively. We'll probably report back the first weekend in July, so you know, I'll have a good time off, and then hopefully get back to in July and start again, and you know, realise of our targets have been promoted again and push that way and train hard, and hopefully end that season we get just rewards.
Do you see it as putting pressure on yourselves to be talking about promotion so soon after you've just been promoted?
No, not at all. You know, we know what lads we've got. We know what our team is. The gaffer knows what he's got. He said he's going to bring a few players in, and we all know. So it's just not pressure. You know, you thrive on pressure. You don't want to just go into a league and say, oh, we just want to stay up. You know, you've got to set yourself goals, and our goals is obviously to try and get promoted again. So no pressure. Can't wait, really. Looking forward to it.
Do you ever wonder when you're preparing for a game or thinking about these kind of things, what happened to the doctor, whoever it was, who said to you you'd never play again?
Yeah, to fair, in my bedroom I've got the actual picture from when I broke my leg stuck up on my wall, so it's always a reminder there that, you know, and I never really think about it, to be fair. I don't think my head realises what pain my leg's in or what have you, so I won't mind shaking that doctor's arm and saying, what did you say again, mate? Are you sure you've got a degree? But yeah, I'm happy to play again.